The annual Bald Eagle Watching Days event is this weekend in the Sauk Prairie area. Really great to have a chance to talk about it today. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way, and my guest, John Keefe with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, and Rich Stafen, a conservation biologist and natural heritage conservation, works with our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And John, thanks so much for joining us again. Appreciate it very much.
Glad to be here.
And Rich, great to see you again. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, we've got, I tell you, this eagle watching is some years can be a little better than other years, depending on the weather and such. And this year looks like we'll probably have a pretty good year for eagle watching days.
Absolutely. If eagle watching days had been held a month ago, I would have been rather trepidatious. But when we got that snow after Christmas, around the New Year's, and that cold weather snap hit in, really made a big difference. We say, you know, the best time to watch eagles is when it's been 20 below with a foot of snow for a week before eagle watching days. And we say that only slightly facetiously, because that's when the birds would congregate in the Sauk Prairie area right below the dam. And we saw the same thing this year with minimal numbers of birds. In December, our roost counts had like 34 and 66. But the first one here in January after that cold snap, but before this more recent cold snap this week, we had 128 birds that we counted in our nine roosts in the area. So we know they're there, and with the cold weather coming in, we think they're probably likely to increase more. And we certainly have seen them flying around the Sauk Prairie area.
So a lot of fun. And the eagle watching days, the event itself is really a lot of fun. I've been there. It's really a lot of fun. It's a great day. It's Saturday, well, Friday evening. And Saturday, all day Saturday.
Correct. And, you know, it's something there, I think, for people of all ages, certainly for the children. Most of the, all the events are actually free, so it's intended to be family-friendly. And we've got Birds of Prey show for the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center in Milwaukee is doing our live Birds of Prey show three times, Friday night at the River Art Center in Prairie du Sac, 7 o'clock, and 9 and 3 o'clock again on Saturday. That's always enjoyable. David Stokes with his Laughing with Animals presentation, highly entertaining and informational. And several other events at the Trip Heritage Museum there in Prairie du Sac for a small venue there. And, of course, you know, the riverbank, all up and down the riverbank, the overlook that we have there in by the municipal parking lot in Prairie, are there for you to watch the main attraction, the eagles perching, soaring, foraging in the Wisconsin River.
It's really cool. Rich Stafen, are eagles, you know, with all the people watching them, are they really affected or bothered by all this activity?
Yeah, that's a good point. Certainly one thing that we recommend is that people outside of where we have some of the overlooks, that people should stay in their car and keep a fair distance from the eagles, because it does disturb them in a sensitive time of year when they're stressed by looking for food and the cold. Mm-hmm. So absolutely would recommend that people give the eagles their distance in the wintertime, for sure.
You can join in, by the way, if you have a question for our guests or maybe an experience to share relating to eagles. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. We have, and, you know, I want to go that show, the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center program, is really cool because you get to see birds right really close.
The eagles, as well as other raptors, will be included in that show. And the Nature Center tries to make this very interactive with the audience. So will be, I think, a very interesting presentation, all three of them, and something that people would certainly want to come and bring their children, bring their parents, whatever the case may be, and have a good time then.
And I noticed that the gang at Wallersheim Winery is going to be there. pretty much all day long too, which is kind of cool.
They will be at the winery where they are open, and they have a wine tasting, which they call Eagle White, and they do provide proceeds from that to Fairy Bluff Eagle Council and Eagle Day, so they are a very strong supporter of the event and of the Eagles.
Well, they're a great organization, and it's always kind of fun to have a chance to see them and maybe sip a little wine with them as well. So, just to talk a little bit more about the event, and people, if they want to get you offer bus service to the various places and that, Rich.
Yeah, we have bus tours that'll be going approximately every 40 or 45 minutes to Overlooks and a couple stops along the river to see Eagles. And I'll actually be one of the participants helping lead those bus tours. And we'll talk about eagle biology, talk about the numbers of eagles in Wisconsin right now, and also try and point out eagles, talk about how we can age them. And so we'll be doing that. And we usually have a really good turnout. People can ask questions, and we'll try and answer any questions that they have during the bus tours.
Well, speaking of questions, we've got a few comments. William in Sun Prairie up first here. William, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I know that nice men like you will say, oh, Will, that's just nature. However, I thought I heard a kind of a bleat. Over a hill, I walked over to slowly. Eagles were flying around. There, a young deer fawn had his eyes pecked out.
Oh, but I doubt that it was an eagle that did it.
Yeah, I think certainly eagles in the wintertime, especially, they're scavengers and they will eat carrion or dead animals, in particular deer. But in terms of killing any fawns or live deer, we do not know of any cases such as that.
Let's turn to Mike in Minneapolis next. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just love your show, and I'm actually driving up 53 to Superior in a little bit of a snowstorm here, but I wanted to relay an incredible experience I had, and unfortunately it happened in the late 70s and early 80s where I didn't have the capability to make any videos or anything or put it on YouTube, but I used to live in Kodiak, Alaska, and in the early winter, in January, the bald eagles of a lot of them in Kodiak would assemble at the mouth of the Passaic River, about 40 miles out of town there on the road system, and feed on late-season coho salmon runs. And it was just an unbelievable experience to go out there and observe those bald eagles massing in such huge numbers. And it was almost like you were in a sort of a fantasy world, you know. It's just incredible. And one other story, we used to hunt ducks out there at the end of the road system there, and in the late winter there, and we a lot of times shoot mallards, and those eagles would come down and grab our mallards, which we didn't have any problem with. We were just amazed at watching those majestic, beautiful animals. So I just wanted to relay that to you. I didn't know that was going on in Wisconsin, so I was pretty excited to hear that.
Yeah, very good. Thanks a lot for calling. John, comment.
I have an Alaska eagle story as well that relates to our birds down here in Sauk Prairie. In addition, I was up there near Sitka a number of years ago as well. Sitka sits on the Pacific side of the island, and there's a big road that goes right by the harbor, and there's a huge spruce, 100 and a quarter feet tall, right by the road. And I looked up there, and there were about four or five eagles sitting there. And here we were, busy place, and the eagles were not being scared off at all. And I wondered, what the devil's going on here? Looked down to the base of the tree, what was there? A dumpster for McDonald's. It was the food supply that brought those eagles there. And it's the same thing up in Sauk Prairie. They come because of the dam that is at Prairie du Sac. Always the water below the dam is open, regardless of how cold it gets. And that's why the birds are coming there, because it's a guaranteed source of food for them in these very harsh and cold winter months. So food is the name of the game, and is key to their survival.
And you might see an eagle take a fish out of the water. Might you, Rich?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's one of the things that we kind of look forward to seeing, is the eagles foraging and actively taking fish. The best time is usually in the morning, is when they leave the roost, usually about an hour or so after sunrise, and they head over to the river, and they're foraging and actively fishing. And yeah, if you get lucky, that would be what you might see for sure.
Mike, thanks again for calling. I appreciate it. I want to give Jenna a chance to join in from Mineral Point. Jenna, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I got a little story to share. Usually when I see bald eagles, I live out on like a 400-acre farm, and usually when I see eagles, they're always in pairs. But remember last summer I was out with my dad, and we saw about 10 or 12 bald eagles just hanging out in the field, and I thought it was so awesome to see that many at once. And I'm just wondering, is that common for them to hang out in such a large group?
Rich, comment about that?
Yeah, typically, well, we're talking about wintertime, we see them in large numbers. Summertime, there can be some family groups that might be around near the nest. 10 is a high number. Usually, eagles will have, on average, about 2 young per year. Sometimes they'll have 3, but 1 to 2 is the average. So it could be a family group, or it could be a couple family groups that had locked into some food source there.
I mean, they all seem like full-grown eagles. I didn't see any young ones or anything.
Okay.
It was so interesting.
Yeah, they were all adults with the white heads and white tails.
Yeah.
And that was in the summertime?
Yeah, they were just out in our cornfield. We have a pond and a creek that go through our valley and everything, so they were just hanging out just above that. But, you know, they were soaring up in the air and kind of wrestling with each other, and then just like sitting in the field. It was just, it was a magnificent sight.
Really cool. Yeah. Thanks, Jenna. Appreciate the call. That's something wonderful to see, isn't it?
In the wintertime, you may see a number of eagles. 10 is a goodly number, but if it's really cold and has been cold for a long time and there's snow cover, they will tend to congregate there along the river, and they will perch in the trees below the dam that I talked about, or across from the VFW park or the overlook or elsewhere along the river. You can see them perching. One time only, saw 33 eagles perched in a tree across from the BFW park. So that was a very cold winter, and I have never seen it since. But certainly, you know, you can see groups of eagles, 4, 5, 6, you know, relatively easily. 10, you're getting up there.
Yeah, but if you show up on Saturday for Eagle Watching Days, and you're going to count more than 3 or 4 or 5 eagles.
I would presume so. They may not be right in front of you the moment you get out on the overlook, for instance, but it's like all kinds of bird watching. Be patient. I was on the overlook last Sunday as a volunteer. In a space of an hour and a half, I had about 12, 14 eagles that I saw, only 2 of them perching. The rest were flying by, and there were 4 of them that were soaring in the ridges across the river. You could just see them soaring around and just having a good time.
Yeah. Well, is that what they're doing, Rich? Are they having a good time when they're up there soaring around like that? They may be, but what's their purpose?
Yeah, that's part of it. But mostly they're looking for food, trying to get up higher and look into the river for scan out some fish, maybe look for some carrion or some dead animals off the river and the hillsides.
John in Fitchburg has a question. Let's go there. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, Larry and guests. I have a question about the eagles. They come there and they really, really chow down. And if we were humans, we do that at Thanksgiving. We can't hardly wiggle for the next day or two. How do those eagles handle that? They eat all that stuff, and how long does it last in their systems and those kind of things?
Yeah,
Rich, you want to take that one?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm actually not sure how long it might stay in the system, but it's probably similar to like humans. It probably is in there for a day or two, and as they process it, and they have some. Sometimes they have. Well, birds will have a crop or a gizzard where they'll store some food in there for a while until they break it down and metabolize it. So it's probably, yeah, in the range of a day to two until it's fully works itself through the system.
Thanks much for calling. Appreciate your call. Visiting today about eagles and eagle watching days this weekend in the Sauk Prairie area. We have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. To where to go and all of the events that are going on. there's really a ton of things going on Saturday for sure. Join in. Our guest today, Rich Stafen, conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and John Keefe, president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. I'm Larry Mueller. Breanne Shashel, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, having some fun talking about eagles with Rich Stafen from the DNR and John Keefe, president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. And it's always great to have them come by to talk about the eagles. And certainly, we're looking forward to hearing from you. If you have a question or comment, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And, John, I know there's an eagle release, or I think there's an eagle release planned. Is there not?
That is true. It's always kind of conditional, depending upon weather conditions and the health of the birds. But Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group up in Antigo is planning on being there. She tells us she has birds ready to go. So we would expect at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon at the VFW Park in Prairie du Sac, right north of the Highway 60 bridge, she will be there with a couple of eagles at least to release. These are birds that have been brought to her rehabilitation station up in Antigo, and she has basically nursed back the health. A variety of issues, injuries, poisonings, whatever. It varies with each one, but she takes time to tell the story of each eagle that she releases there.
Yeah.
And it is a really, really good show. The only caveat I would have is to come early because she attracts a good crowd with good reason. And you might have to park a little bit further away. There's lots of parking down in the VFW area itself. But the earlier you come, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah, and Marge is wonderful. I've had her on the show for... I haven't had her for a while. I think... Breanne, we're going to have to get her. We're going to have to get Marge back on the show to talk about animal rehabilitation because she's a wonderful speaker, and she and others around the state just do a great job. And Rich certainly helped the DNR and help us all of us in that area.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely get reports of injured eagles and other raptors and other wildlife, and she's on our list of certified rehabilitators, and we do send stuff up to her and reports to her.
Yeah.
At last count, I heard that she had over 30 eagles that she was had up there nursing back to health in various stages of rehabilitation, as well as a couple hundred other birds of various species.
Wow. Well, George in Chippewa Falls has a comment. Let's see. Let's go there. Hi, George. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Rich, John, and Larry. Very good show. In late 60s, early 70s, I lived in Sitka, Alaska. And I am originally from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Never saw eagles down there, so I moved up there. And, well, it was at that point in time, there was lots and lots of eagles. But what I really enjoyed when the salmon had run, as your one of your former callers, I think, alluded to, when the salmon run, it was like a buffet up there for all the creatures, not just the eagles. You'd see fox, coyotes, bear, and it was just magnificent. And there was anybody that hasn't seen a salmon run, it's just unbelievable. The water is fairly shallow, and it's just like a wiggling mass of these creatures trying to get farther up. And some of those, there's bites out of them, just unbelievable. But I also have a question in regards to the recovery of the eagles. As a stated before, I'm from the Marshfield, Wisconsin area, never saw eagles. I retired, moved over to Chippewa Falls in 2006. But prior to moving over here, about 2000, 2002, started even seeing eagles around the Marshfield area. And there's really no water around. Over here by Chippewa, of course, they're all over. We've got about 20 acres of land, and we see them all the time cruising. But my question is, on the recovery effort, could you expand a little bit on how we figured out with that? I believe it was DDT problems, and yep, how this has been going, please.
Sure. And Rich, let's turn to you for that. Rich Stafen.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that was one of the things that we wanted to talk a little bit about, was how well the breeding numbers are doing for bald eagles in the state. We had an aerial survey. The annual survey took place in spring of 2015, and the numbers came back at their all-time high, which was 1,456 nesting pairs in Wisconsin. They're now found in every county in the state except for three in southeast Wisconsin. So, yeah, the removing the DDT from the environment and also improving some of the habitat and water quality has really led to this amazing recovery for bald eagles in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. This has been manifested, I think, right here in the Sauk Prairie area, because when Fairy Bluff started out, we were focusing entirely on wintering eagles because that's all we had in the area. Mm-hmm. And the last 10 years or so, the nesting eagles have begun popping up, and they're within a 10-mile radius of Sauk Prairie. I think there are probably a dozen or more nesting pairs, and we've been monitoring those now as well because we've expanded our mission. But it has been the single largest, I think, change and trend that we have seen in the eagle population in our local area right there.
That's really cool. Thanks, George, for bringing that up. I appreciate it. It gave us a chance to talk about the number of eagles that we do have, which is amazing to me, an amazing number of birds. And it's probably only going to get, I mean, there's room for more, aren't there, Rich?
Yeah, well, we're starting to reach, get near the carrying capacity for eagles. So there is, we're seeing this southward movement of eagles into the south where there wasn't nesting eagles before.
Yeah.
But they're starting to fill up a lot of the potential habitat in the state. Mm-hmm. So eventually we're probably going to level off at some point, but hopefully we can keep those numbers and keep them growing for a little while longer.
All right. Well, let's go to Joe in Fremont next. Joe, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have to say I'm driving along Highway 10 near Appleton, and I just saw a bald eagle fly overhead.
Good.
I have two questions. One, in the summer, we live in Fremont near the Wolf River, and we have a nesting pair live near our house. And this past summer, they had a youngling there. And I'm wondering, how long do they stay with the parents? And the second question is, we have a lot of turkey vultures. And this summer, I saw six or seven turkey vultures, and our eagles are flying around. And the turkey vultures are sort of taunting the eagle, but they just seem to ignore them. Are they adversaries? And also, where do turkey vultures, do they head south in the winter? Because I don't mm-hmm. see them.
All right. Rich Stafen?
Yeah, so the young eagles will stick around. They'll be around the nest until they can fly, which is usually early summer, June or July, in the southern part of the state. And they'll stick around with their parents through the summer and early fall. And then they'll get pushed out by the adults. And they usually are the ones, if they're going to migrate, they'll leave a little bit earlier than the adults. And when they come back, they'll start to look for their own territory, their own mate. Sometimes they'll establish or they'll move into a territory if one of the adults, their parents, dies. But typically they're going to be pushed out and onto their own and find their own mate and territory. And the turkey vultures, so they primarily feed on dead animals or dead critters. And even in the summertime, since the eagles are primarily feeding and feasting on fish, there's not a whole lot of interaction, or there's not much territoriality going on between the two species, or not much conflict. So there shouldn't be much, much adversarial conflicts between those two.
Very cool. Thanks, Joe, for calling. Donald in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I just had a couple of comments. I work construction, so I'm outdoors quite often and stuff. And I was doing a job up at Lawrence University in Appleton, half a dozen years ago. And one of the guys I worked with and I, we'd take lunch every day. And there was probably, I would say, 20, 30 eagles up in that area that we'd get to watch every day at lunchtime and stuff.
That's cool.
I mean, that area is also a good area if you want to watch eagles, I guess, and stuff. And then I had one other comment, too. I lived in the Appleton area, and I had a mating pair that were nested about half quarter mile from my house. And at one point in time, I was driving out of my driveway, and I seen a young eagle get hit by a car. And it took me... I was just curious. It took me probably the better part of 4 or 5 hours before I could get somebody over there to, I guess, help out. And it was just kind of frustrating that I couldn't find anybody. I called the local police, county, whatever, and everybody just kept referring me to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy and stuff. So I was just wondering if there's any information out there as if somebody did come across something that would be a little easier to access somebody that could come out and help in a situation like that.
All right, and there are procedures, ways to do that.
Yeah, that's a good comment. Certainly we get some phone calls in that nature as well. We have a list of, certified rehabilitators online that people could go to. That's where they're going to end up eventually, and some of them will come out and get the birds. Also, you could try your local wildlife county biologist. They would also help in that regard, too, to... get the eagle to, or whatever was hit, to the nearest rehabilitator. So that might be the best route to go.
Mm-hmm. Another possibility is call your local vet. We're fortunate in Stock Prairie area that we have a vet who is very interested in eagles and has a relationship where he can stabilize the eagle until someone like Marge Gibson could come and pick it up for rehabilitation purposes. So it's a possibility the vet would have some information, too.
All right. All good ideas. Thanks, Don, for calling. Carl in Marinette, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. This is my first time ever calling on a radio station, so I'm kind of nervous. I live in Marinette County, and I was at a Diamond Lake. And we were fishing for trout in a private pond, and we saw a couple eagles soaring up above us, and one minute, the one just comes soaring down and grabbed bigger fish than I was catching. That was just amazing to see.
Oh, well, that's one of the very cool things. I've had the chance to do that in northern Wisconsin on Manitouish waters, watching an eagle come down and take a fish right out of the lake while I was musky fishing, and that eagle caught more than I caught that day.
A sequel to your story is what happens after an eagle catches a fish. If you watch an eagle in flight, especially on smaller fish, if its talons come up to its beak, it means it caught something and is starting to eat already. Because what often happens when they get back to their perch on a tree, they suddenly have a party. It's called, I think, a food fight. And I've seen other 4 or 5 other eagles come down, swoop in and try to take that fish away. So, keep your eye on the eagle after he catches it as well as while he's catching it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, too, that there's eagles are kind of notorious at pirating food, and they'll even, when the lakes freeze over, an ice fisherman will set their fish on the ice. Eagles have been known to come in and steal fish off the ice from fishermen. And they're also notorious for harassing osprey, and they're effective at chasing them and having them drop their catch sometimes, and will steal fish from osprey as well. So
I actually observed one that had hit the water and wound up having to swim to shore, which was really a cool sight to see. You know, I thought for a second, oh, it's in trouble, but it knew what it was doing. It doesn't look real elegant in the water, but it did a good job and made it to the shore of an island and, sat there for a while and eventually took off.
Yeah, we witnessed that last year. I think it the eagle watching days on the right. Wisconsin River up in Sauk Prairie, actually. It was really interesting to see how they can use their wings to swim across the water to the shore.
A number of people at that last year Rich is talking about were concerned about that eagle. But, you know, we double-checked with Marge, who released it, and she says, no, it'll be fine. No, it knows how to negotiate from that particular, I think it was on an ice floe or something like that, and it could get off and get to shore. And sure enough, you know, it took a little while, but it did.
Oh, yeah. They're not real fast movers, but they get there. Dan Small with us. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
Great. Great to have you with us. What?
Yeah, I heard you guys talk about the eagle watch days, and how did that go? Are you still there? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you and your listeners know that Outdoor Wisconsin at next week's show is going to feature Eagle Watch Days at Fairy Bluff. Jeff Kelm was there last year, and we didn't get it on before your Eagle Watch, but it's on next week for anybody who doesn't make it to Fairy Bluff this weekend.
Oh, wonderful, Dan. Thank you.
And I got a brief eagle story myself. I live in Vernon County now, and we see eagles occasionally throughout the year, but we butchered a couple sheep a week ago, put the entrails up in a fenced area where the crows can get at it, and no coyotes. And within 2 hours, there was a pair of bald eagles, mature eagles on them. And I don't know whether the crows alerted, you know, whether they saw the crow activity or they just... they've got the eagle eye, so, you know, whether they were soaring over and saw it or what, I don't know. But they were there within 2 hours.
Oh.
The show next week that you have is still going to be timely because, keep in mind, the Eagles are not under contract at Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. They are not there just on Eagle Watching Days. They come in mid-December or so, and they will stay until late February, maybe early March, depending upon weather conditions. So Eagle season will be continuing through February as well.
Oh, and Dan, next week then on Outdoor Wisconsin.
Next week on Milwaukee Public TV, Thursday night at 9. I'm not sure when Wisconsin Public TV airs it. They've moved us around, but check the schedule and you'll see.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet.
Take care. Dan Small from Outdoor Wisconsin. He does a wonderful, wonderful job. It's great to have him call in. Gary and Rhinelander up next. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Hey, I do a lot of traveling in northern Wisconsin, and I see eagles every day. And once in a great while, I'll see a bunch of them. 15 or 20 of them, you know, in various trees around the area. And I often wonder, you know, that I'm looking for an animal, a dead animal or something, and see absolutely nothing. But just wondering why they congregate that way. But also, I've got a bunch of pictures that was taken by my stepdaughter with my nice camera of an eagle flying on the lake, catching a fish, and seeing that and taking a lot of pictures of this eagle eating this fish in a tree. And you can see with the pictures of how clean he got every chunk of meat off the bones of that fish to where all that was left was the head. And it's just amazing of how they can clean the bones off of a fish.
Oh, very – thanks. Thanks very much for calling. Hey, post one of those photos, if you can, up on our Facebook page. I'd love to see them, Gary, if you get a chance to do that. And they are pretty good with their beaks, aren't they, Rich?
Yeah, that's what they're notorious for. All of our birds of prey have these amazing talons, but also their ability to pull meat off the bone and off of their prey with their beaks.
And let's go to Tim in Iola next. Tim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment. I'm an industrial forester within the state of Wisconsin, and a few years ago I had the opportunity to do a timber sale that had an active eagle's nest on the property. And I was advised to locate the nest and set up the proper perimeter for protection, and I couldn't believe how enormous and how well constructed the nest was. I just wondered if you could make possibly some comments that the general public might be interested in knowing, you know, how it's done and just that aspect of the eagle's biology, and I'll take the comments off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tim. They're enormous.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun facts about eagle nests, including their size, and there's stories about that they can weigh over a ton, and that is actually a true. Eagles will rebuild their nest or add on to it every year. Some of the nests have been known to persist or be used for over 30 or more years. They're oftentimes at least 6 feet in width and 10 to 12 feet deep. So they're massive structures. They need a really strong tree, of course. They oftentimes will nest in the largest white pine, super canopy pine in the area, or along some of the southern rivers and some of these really huge cottonwood trees that you see along the rivers.
We had in an area in the Shawamigan National Forest where I deer hunt several years back now, that an enormous nest in a white pine, and it had to be 6 feet across.
Yeah.
It was unfortunately we had a downdraft and a huge windstorm, and that tree came down.
Yeah, that's usually what happens to them, is the nest will get blown out in a storm or something like that, or the tree will come down.
The size of these nests are really quite functional when you stop to think about it. Ordinarily, a pair will have two birds on average, sometimes one, once in a while three. But these eaglets come out of the eggs and grow to full mature size, may not have their colorings, by in a couple, 3 months. So you think about having two eaglets of full size along with mom and pop all in one nest. You know, it gets crowded pretty fast even though they are big.
Well, here we are running out of time, and I want to just go back to eagle watching days, because it's this weekend. If you go over Friday evening, at 7 o'clock, there's the live bird of prey show from the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center, and then Saturday, starting at 8 in the morning, you've got, and running all day, you've got eagle viewing at the Overlooks. You've got a pancake breakfast. Right off the bat at the Sauk Prairie Kiwanis is holding that. And then there's raffle tickets, there's exhibits, there's kids' activities that kind of go from 9 to 1, I believe. And again, the Schlitz Audubon a couple times during the day.
It's a event-packed day for sure.
Yeah.
And you can come when you can, leave when you must. But I think there's a lot of things there for everybody. And, of course, there's always the eagle watching, the prime purpose of all of this, along the river.
And, guys, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great to be here.
Great to have you with us.
And thanks for all the great questions from your listeners, too.
Yeah, it's some great ones, and we didn't get to all of them. Unfortunately, I will mention, too, that there is a nice photo from Dan of an eagle feeding on deer. It's a roadkill deer in Vilas County. Probably some other photos as well. But again, eagle watching days. Go onto our Facebook page if you're interested in getting the whole schedule of activities. We've got a link to the website, saukprairie.com. It's Sauk City in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin, as we call it. Sauk Prairie's 29th Bald Eagle Watching Days this weekend. And we talked about eagles. What about owls? I can talk about owls, but I'm not the expert. The expert is Scott Weidensall. He's coming up next as we visit with him about his latest book, Owls of North America and the Caribbean, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.